Are Sacramento Kings fans too loyal for their own good? Have we tolerated losing for so long that our tolerance might actually be part of the problem? On today's Locked On Kings podcast, I'm going to be joined by ABC10's Walt Gray. We're going to talk about the culture of losing in Sacramento and why fans continuing to put up with it and support it like only we know how could actually be a reason, not the reason, but a reason for the continuing playoff drought. It's all on today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Time for another episode of Locked On Kings.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all off season. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of your Sacramento Kings from January through December, this is the place for you, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I've been a Sacramento sports media member for the last 8 years. This was just wrapped up my eighth season covering Kings basketball, and I'm currently working for ABC 10 News in Sacramento, where I met and am colleagues and friends with my guest on today's Locked On Kings podcast. Walt Gray has been an anchor in Sacramento news scene, formerly for KCRA, now with ABC 10, for a very long time. And even though he's a Boston guy, he's from Boston, he is very much ingrained into Sacramento sports, has been here throughout this playoff drought, is very aware of the struggles and the issues of the Sacramento Kings. And off the air, we have been talking for a while about trying to figure out what is it that has this team so consistently in a rut. How is it possible that when over half of the teams in the NBA every year make the playoffs, the Kings have not at least once in 16 years managed to just stumble or luck their way into the playoffs? There is a reason why there's so many players and coaches and even front office members that have come here and been affected by the losing culture. And while our conclusion wasn't it's the fans' fault completely, because that would be absolutely absurd, we did discuss how Sacramento Kings fans and their unwavering loyalty, which the Kings take for granted and quite honestly do not deserve a lot of the time, while why Kings fans continuing to watch, continuing to show up, continuing to talk about the team and love the team like we do here in this city, how that and the lack of accountability, that maybe over-tolerance, has led to the Kings being less anxious or willing to get rid of the ineptitude. Now, I'm not saying by any means that Vivek Ranadive, Monty McNair, the players in Sacramento, the coaches in Sacramento over the last 16 years, that they haven't wanted to be better, to win, and to make the playoffs. But in terms of accountability, while coaches can get fired, and we've seen it time and time again, while players can get traded, we've seen it time and time again, or let walk in free agency, while general managers can get fired, we've seen it two times, this is our third general manager in Monty McNair since Vivek Ranadive took over. All that can change. You can hold all those people accountable, but if the culture stays the same, ownership stays the same, and the fan support is still there, nothing really changes, as we've seen. So Walt and I, it's not the most popular of opinions. It's not the most popular of conversations, because no Sacramento Kings fan who sat through this garbage for 16 years wants to even be remotely held responsible or told they are responsible in any way for the Kings being bad. So understand what the conversation here. It's not that the Kings fan base is doing anything wrong and is responsible for the Kings being a bad basketball team, but maybe Kings fans continuing to be loyal, that golden trait that makes Kings fans and makes Sacramento fans so unique, that actually could be in some ways keeping this team in mediocre, in the cellar of the NBA as they've been for so long. Walt and I will discuss it on today's episode of Locked On Kings. Well, here we are. Kings podcast meets ABC 10. It's been a long time coming. Finally, Walt Gray.
How did I get on the show? I mean, I've been begging and camping outside forever, and it's like, finally, you let me in.
Absolutely. Well, it's been a long time coming, and we've been talking about what we're going to talk about in length today over the last few months, and it was something that I wanted to make sure I saved for a perfect off-season conversation. Well, you would think, after 16 seasons, when over half the league before the play-in tournament, half the league makes the playoffs, you would think that the Sacramento Kings at least once would somehow stumble their way into the postseason.
Law of averages, right? You're getting a top pick every year over these many, many losing seasons. You know, how is it? Are we the Toronto Maple Leafs of the NBA? What is it about this franchise? We are in a constant rebuild, and I hear a lot on sports radio, podcasts, whatnot. Everybody complains all the time about the status of the team, and they complain about what's going on. But isn't there another level, another layer or level to that? It's like, okay, why is this happening every year? We tend to focus in the immediate. I think the current iteration of the team, you would have to say that the problem, you would have to go right to the owner. Mm-hmm. And I know that's a cheap thing, and everybody sort of talks about that. But when Vivek Ranadive bought the team in 2013, they had already had losing seasons since, 2006? Mm-hmm. So he inherited a loser. And we owe him a big debt of gratitude because he kept the team here. That was huge. Mm-hmm. Keeping them from moving to Seattle, great, thank you. But since that point in 2013, it has been a blank show, comedy of errors. Yeah. With hirings and firings, hiring the wrong people, firing the wrong people. I sort of checked out when Michael Malone was fired. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. There was no need for that. This franchise, though, has always filled the seats, Matt, right? Mm-hmm. Always filled the seats. Only recently have I seen Kings fans completely stay away. Even during the lean years, the early years, when the team was struggling and losing, which was most of the time until 1998, fans packed the place because it was the only thing to do. It was the best thing to do in town. And we were just happy to have an NBA franchise. I really call on the on the fans, though, at this point, and I think you're starting to see this, where they're like, the years of losing have finally caught up. Mm-hmm. And it is showing in lack of attendance at games.
This is really where the modern NBA, modern media has worked against Sacramento ownership, which, by the way, like you mentioned, Vivek Ranadive now, he's got 2 years on the Maloofs in terms of the majority of these playoff drought is now as well in his tenure. So he is starting to get more and more blame as more information has come out over the years of ways that maybe the Kings ownership group has meddled in decision making. I had George Karl, former Kings head coach, on my podcast, and George was sharing about how there were too many cooks in the kitchen. He would sit down at a conference table, and there would be owners in there who were sharing their opinions, and their voices were more heard than the basketball minds in the room, plus the revolving door of advisors. So now when you have all this information coming out, you have social media where so many opinions can be shared, and it's much easier now to get that story and get behind the scenes, especially when the Kings had all those leaks a number of years ago. Fans are starting to really be privy to, okay, what's really going on here? And when you're losing year after year after year, and you're seeing what's constant versus what frequently changes, like roster and head coach, and at this point even general manager, people are starting to connect the dots.
We're a small market franchise. We're a small town in the NBA big pie. And so we do have a bit of an inferiority complex as a city, as a fan base, compared to, in our state, San Francisco, the two Los Angeles teams. So we tend to do things in the draft to draft a big name player to get that instant feel of credibility or feel good. You know, you talk about, you know, maybe a Jimmy Fredette, big name. Frank Mason, big name. Marvin Bagley, big name. Although on draft day, everybody had Marvin as a top five player. Mm-hmm. I do not fault the Kings for Marvin Bagley. He was on everybody's board as a top player. Who knew that that the dude from Dallas was going to become the dude from Dallas, right? And so, and Phoenix still has to answer the questions about Luka Doncic as well. I mean, Ayton is fine, but who knew that Luka Doncic was going to be that way? But again, And I think Matt Barnes pointed this out, right? When you're a small market franchise, you cannot afford to make a mistake because you are not going to get big name free agents to come here. Sacramento, like the rest of California, has a very high tax rate. So if you're going to live in California, you want to play for a good franchise. You can't attract big-name free agents to come here. Mm-hmm. And the draft picks, I mean, I worry about a De'Aaron Fox, you know, whether he would stay when his contract is up. Or certainly, you know, any other big-name player that we trade for. It's like when their term is up, their time is up, there are bright lights in other places. Because Sacramento isn't Boston, Philadelphia, and New York. It's not, and there's nothing we can really do to change that.
And I think that's a lesson that Monty McNair is learning and had to learn the hard way. That one of the first decisions he made, other than drafting Tyrese Halliburton and signing De'Aaron Fox, which I would argue he kind of had to do that. You had to pay De'Aaron Fox.
You have to.
That's only going to be top dollar here in Sacramento. But one of the first decisions that he made was allowing Bogdan Bogdanovic to walk to Atlanta. And I understand every argument for why you did that. Financially, you didn't want to cap yourself out. You wanted to retain flexibility. You didn't want to just bring back Vlade Divac's roster.
Right.
But in Sacramento, if you're going to let a talent who is arguably top three, top four on your roster walk, you're setting yourself up for failure.
Right.
So it's free agency has never been an option for the Kings unless they get a Rashawn Holmes type story where here's this player that you paid a little bit of money for that outplays that contract.
We had Buddy, so it felt like, okay, we got Buddy, we got Bogdan, what are we going to do? One of them has to go. And I think that it's just super hard right now. And you mentioned Vlade, and it's interesting. The reason Vlade was named GM is because he was part of that Pacific Division championship dominant era. And we look back on this as the golden age of the Kings, where they never even won the Western Conference championship, never mind never played in an NBA Finals.
Right.
So it's like, that's why Vlade was the GM and Peja was in the front office. That's why Doug Christie is an assistant coach or was. I don't know what his current status
is. Bobby Jackson, too.
Bobby Jackson, because they're from the golden era. We have a somewhat low bar here where the guys from that golden era, which obviously never won anything, you know, they're treated like royalty. And there's discussion from a lot of people. Let's make Doug Christie the head coach. But why? Because you're continuing this whole fascination with that era where the Kings had some success. But I don't know that Doug is a serious candidate. I haven't heard his name. But it's hard to be a winning franchise as a small market. It's especially difficult when you just can't get decisions right. To Matt Barnes's point, you know, you look at OKC, Utah, small market teams, they do very well. San Antonio, they seem to have stability and a long-range plan. But a losing culture does breed, and there is a losing culture here. You know who has a losing culture right now? The Lakers do, and that's so odd. One of the most successful franchises in NBA history, recent NBA champions, they were a garbage dump fire last year. All of a sudden, you're looking at them as they got a lot of problems. That said, the Kings can turn it around. If they go 3-0, 5-2 next year, 10-5, everybody forgets the past. They're like so optimistic, so desperately thirsty for a winning team, that all of that is forgotten. Do we have a problem right now? We do. Can it change? Can it change immediately? Oh, yes, it can.
Today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast is brought to you by BetOnline, your number one source for all your betting stats and sports information. You can find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs going on right now, Major League Baseball season underway. You can bet on all of that. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. And the more is the important part here, because even though the Sacramento Kings season is over and done with, doesn't mean that you can't still use your Kings knowledge to make money on BetOnline with the amount of fun prop and future bets, bets around the draft lottery, bets around the draft itself, bets around who the next Kings head coach is going to be. Soon there will be over-unders for win totals for the Kings next season. There are championship odds for next season. There's so many things for you to bet on in regards to the Sacramento Kings, even during the offseason. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and the action at BetOnline, where the game starts.
The word that was brought up a lot this season amongst the players on the floor was accountability. And I think that word needs to go deeper to the organization as a whole. But it's difficult when you're in a situation where those who are potentially the root cause of the problem, those who are at the very top, those who are owning the team, how do you hold them accountable when there's really no fear of them losing their position unless Adam Silver, commissioner, swoops in and takes the franchise from them, which is not going to happen, barring the only power the Sacramento Kings and Kings fans may have, and this is where I wanted to go deeper with you, is Kings fans have the power to say enough is enough, and it is very hard to ask a Kings fan to not go to a game or to not watch
their
team.
They're not going anymore. I got here in March of 88, and the place was full for years and years and years and years with the teams like we have now, but it was still the vibe.
Right.
At this point, I believe a generic Kings fan, they've checked out until there's reason to check back in, because they always used to go to the games. And if you look at the Golden One Center in a December 22nd game when, you know, Cleveland's in or somebody, and they're not there anymore when getting a Kings ticket used to be a thing.
Yeah.
It's not that way anymore. The fans have checked out. But my point is, they can check back in to Monty. I like Monty. He's a smart guy. Mm-hmm. He didn't take this job not knowing what he was getting into, nor he did know the past. He kind of lives in the neighborhood. My daughter actually babysits for his kids, and I see him. Mm-hmm. He's a solid dude, and I think he's going to get it done. You know why? Because he has to.
Yeah.
Everybody's done with change this, change that. Hiring a good coach, he'll get a good coach. And I think he's got the right idea. And I think that he has to win. He has to win now, which is great for the fan base, in order to keep some of these other people he's got from leaving.
I don't think anybody in their right mind would blame Sacramento Kings fans for any of the issues that this organization has had, except for
tolerating it.
Exactly.
Tolerating it for years.
And that's where the accountability thing comes in. And that's where I wonder, like, the only consistent part of this Kings franchise over the last 16 years has been the fan support.
Yeah.
Maybe it's that becoming inconsistent, the fans saying enough is enough to actually cause legitimate change, maybe the fan support that we all love, we all appreciate, what makes Sacramento such a great sports market, what allowed the team to stay here or kept the team here in Sacramento. Yeah. Maybe that needs to falter a little bit for the wake-up call to actually happen.
Don't you feel that it is, though? Mm-hmm. When you go to the games, and I know that you do, and you see it's half-filled, and Arco Arena number 2, Arco Arena number 1 were slammed every game of every year, no matter the opponent. And I think you get to this point now, and ticket prices are way expensive.
Yeah.
They're way expensive for you to sit there to see your team lose by 30, giving little effort. People won't pay the price that they pay now in the Golden One Center. Mm-hmm. They would 10 years ago at the old Arco. Yeah, let's go. Maybe, you know, the Rockets are in town. Now you're asked to pay, what, $1.50 for a good seat in the lower level? If I were to take my family of 5, I'm looking at $600-$700 plus chicken strips, right? And an overpriced IPA. That ain't happening. I can't afford, most people can't, to go there to watch a team not play hard. I ain't doing it.
Yeah.
I'm not.
The last thing I got for you, Walt, is you brought up the losing culture. And this is something that podcasts, radio shows, television, we've tried to dissect this losing culture and trying to figure out how is it that a player like Marco Bellinelli can come from having a career year shooting the basketball in San Antonio, comes to Sacramento, and shooting plummets.
Correct.
And that's just one example, but we've seen it over and over and over again. The talent, like a George Hill recently, comes to Sacramento, is expected to be kind of the mentor for De'Aaron Fox, is terrible, goes to Milwaukee, and is part of a championship team.
No accountability, Matt. It's not just Kings basketball. You could work for a state job, and you go in there, and it's kind of the joke thing where you go in there and you're all gung-ho and you want to do your job, and a couple of people lean over and say, hey, dude, chill a little bit. You're making us all look bad.
Right.
It's a losing culture. We've all worked at places where there's a losing culture. You come in, and do you want to play? You don't have to play that extra hard defense because your team's going to lose by 15 anyway. And those players that go on to teams who are competitive, every minute on the court counts. In a losing culture, you know what? I'm going to give enough effort so that it shows I'm giving some effort.
Getting paid anyway.
And I think good players as your point, good players have come into Sacramento and go bad because they're like, I'm going to get my check, and you know, I'm not going to have to give 100% like I did for Coach Pop in San Antonio. I can give 80%. Nobody's going to really notice because everybody else is given 80%. It's a losing culture, and it is. But as I said, it can change with a 3-0, 5-2, 10-5 start next year. All that goes away. It's all what's next.
Yeah.
So it's not dire. It's not the end. But I do think that, you know, I think it's a huge offseason. And if this team next year in January or February is the same as it was this year, this franchise has a big problem.
Golden 1 Center is a graveyard.
They are having a big problem, and that will push them out two or three more years. If they're losing next year in February like they have been, this is going to set them back another 3 or 4 years. But they're not going to move. I mean, I don't know how many people will show up at the Golden 1 Center to watch what we saw. There were some games this year, as you know, where they were losing by 30 or 40 points and not caring. Mm-hmm. People will not pay $120 to watch a bunch of guys running around making nice coin, not putting out. Not going to happen. It won't. The Kings fans are done with this. They are. You've seen it.
This was the first season that I heard so many season ticket holders saying, it's not worth it for me to go, even if I've already paid for it and I can't sell my tickets because it has no value and nobody else wants to go.
It's very true, Matt, but I remain optimistic, but I do think this is a huge year, and I know you agree. They have to do something, and the sooner the better. And Monty is not stupid. Yeah. He knows that. Vivek is probably leaning on him. I got to sell seats, bro. You know, we need to get off to a quick start.
Right.
I will back you here in the offseason to get you some people that you need. Because, and I joke about this, when Vivek goes to the NBA meetings with the other owners, the Kings are so bad, they make him sit at the kids' table. And it's true. And it's like, oh, it's Vivek. We know we're gonna sweep that season series because he doesn't know what he's doing. That has to change, Vivek. It has to change, and it had to change like 3 years ago.
Well, the only cure the Kings haven't tried for their bad culture is winning, and they say winning cures everything.
It does. So. It does. And again, look at the Lakers last year. A joke, having just won the championship, having won multiple championships. A good culture can go bad quickly, and a bad culture, hopefully for us, can go better, if not good, soon.
Well, there are going to be fireworks this offseason, meaning this is not the last time that you and I are going to chat about what is going on this offseason. Everything Monty McNair and the Kings do this offseason will be dissected, and we will for sure do it again, Walt.
Does your podcast pay, by the way? Did I just do all this for free?
Oh, hold on, let me see.
You got some of Vivek's Bitcoin in there. I don't take Bitcoin right now.
Thank you, Walt.
All right, thanks, Matt.
Today's Locked On Kings podcast is also brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store or your dealer to carry the parts that you need at negotiable price points with different brands. You're pretty much stuck with what they have at their cost, and that's it. Well, rockauto.com gives you options, it gives you flexibility, and it gives you the ability to save a boatload of money. We're talking 30, 50, or even 100% less than what you would spend for your basic auto parts at your dealership or local auto parts store. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. They help everybody from car gurus to people like me who have no idea what a car is half the time. Rock Auto prices, they're reliably low for every single customer, regardless of your knowledge level. They have everything you can need, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website and find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, right locked on in there. How did you hear about us box? So they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. I know there are going to be some of you who are not reacting positively to this conversation, although some of you may actually understand what we're saying and may have felt this way for a while. I can't tell you how many season ticket holders this season I talked to who said, I've already paid for these tickets and it's not worth it for me. The product is not worth it for me to go out and support. Now, we saw that change a little bit after the trade deadline when the Kings brought in DeMontis Sabonis and changed things up a little bit. And no surprise to me that Kings fans started coming back because y'all are so damn loyal, you know nothing better. And that's not a bad thing. It's really not a bad thing. However, I think the Sacramento Kings organization, Kings ownership, they've gotten far too reliant upon or they take for granted how Kings fans continue to support a bad product and have continued to support a bad product for nearly two decades, thinking that they could continue to just get away from with that and get that blind support. And as we saw last season, with the attendance numbers going down until the Kings made a major move, fans are starting to realize what the problems are and are starting to not want to tolerate it anymore. And maybe that is what will create actual change. If you have opinions on this conversation, you think Walt and I are bonkers, if you think we have a point, if you want to weigh in, please do so at Matt George Sack on Twitter. Email me mattgeorgesports@gmail.com and leave your thoughts in the YouTube comment section down below. I have a great week of Locked On Kings content planned for you next week. This week, last episode, I did a hypothetical podcast with Damian Barling about what if the Kings win the draft lottery and get the number one overall pick. The responses to that have been fantastic. If you missed that episode, go and listen to it. Next week, we're doing kind of more hypotheticals. One of the major ones we're going to talk about is, should the Kings target Victor Oladipo in free agency? And another topic that we're going to discuss, now that the Utah Jazz have been eliminated from the playoffs again, another first round exit for them, a blow up could be coming. And could the Kings potentially make a move for Donovan Mitchell? And what would they have to give up to make it happen? And would it be worth it? We'll discuss that amongst many other things next week. So I hope you will join me for that. I appreciate your support of this podcast, of every episode that you listen to, whether it's one a week, two a week, every single one a month, does not matter. Although if you could continue to be a frequent listener of Locked On Kings throughout the off season into next season and beyond, I really would appreciate that. Of course, I would also appreciate you leaving a review of Locked On Kings if you have not done so already. Thank you so much as always. And I can't wait to have you join me on the next episode. If you could, again, leave a review, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, best place to do that, or you can leave a 5-star review on Spotify if you think the pod is worthy of that rating. Until next time, my name is Matt George. You have been listening to Locked On Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.